Lord, even as we go further, we ask that you grant us such illumination that will aid our understanding and perception so that we can apprehend the emphasis that is sustained in your present revelation position. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You may be seated in the house of God. You see, the presentation that my brother has given has affected the delicate balance upon which what I brought here was sitting. So I trust God for grace to align. Exodus chapter 28. Exodus chapter 28. Exodus chapter 28. We'll just read from verse 29 and verse number 30. Exodus 28. 29 and 30. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim. And there shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. Hallelujah. So we have to continue that. The emphasis that my brother struck, I believe that's the present revelation position. So we have to stay there. Now, part of the equipment, the utensils that was given to Aaron, with which he will have capacity to divine what the heart of God is, was the equipment called the Urim and the Thummim. It's an equipment that cannot operate outside of light. And in the temple area, there are three kinds of light that is available, and only one kind of light can activate the function of the Urim and the Thummim. If you are going to labor in the temple, and probably you are laboring in the outer court, the light of illumination that you have is sunlight. And just in case your efforts are captured within the holy place, the light you have is candlelight. And if it happens to be that you are laboring in the Holy of Holies, then you will depend on Shekinah illumination. And it happens to be that the Urim and the Thummim cannot be activated either by candlelight or sunlight. So when we say that the eyes of your understanding being flooded with light, it's not because you stumbled on something that excited the soil of your soul. I'm not talking about discoveries in physics. Maybe you are studying physics, one equation is difficult, and then you now, God can help you with your physics. But there is a light by which you will need to enter into the economy of hidden things. The Bible calls it the economy of the mystery. That's how it is written in the Greek language. The oikonomia of the mystery. It means that there are secret things that God has put in place. And surprisingly, those secret things that God has put in place were designed for our advantage. So God is not hiding the things from us, but he is hiding it for us. And you need to come under the exposure of Shekinah illumination in order for the instruments that can divine the heart of God to come alive. your knowledge of what is on the heart of God is going to be stirred by Shekinah. Now, let me give you an insight. You know, my brother used the scripture in the book of John chapter 3, and he said, this is the words of Jesus, the response of Jesus. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And if you check the word, click on see, in Greek is eido. Eido. And eido talks about perception that is possible by the use of senses. You see, the sense of touch, for instance, gives you a kind of awareness that sight cannot give you. Are you with me? You know what happens when you're not with me? We reduce the syllables. Are you here? Now, so that's perception by reason of the use of senses. And the context and the choice of words that Jesus employed in unveiling the possibilities of John chapter 3 verse 3 is similar to the situation that we have if there is a woman that is heavy. You know, when you were in your mother's womb and you were 9 months old in the womb, your eyes were fully developed, but your eyes were not designed for the womb. Doctor, am I on track? The eyes of the child fully developed at 9 months, but the eyes are not useful in the womb because they were not designed for the womb. So the child will have to be born in order for his eyes to become relevant. That's the same kind of thing Jesus is saying, that you have spiritual senses built into you, but you will need to be born again first. When you become born again, you become eligible to receiving Shekinah illumination. It is the entrance of that illumination that can quicken those spiritual senses that you have. And with those spiritual senses, perception is therefore possible. What I'm trying to establish here is that we need an external facility, namely light, to come on the Urim and the Thummim in order for it to begin to function maximally. Are you with me? Now, and it will also interest you to know that the Urim and the Thummim can only say yes or no. Are you there? That's a limited but significant type of perception. And in the New Testament layout, the equivalent of that is what we have in the book of 1 John chapter 2. Turn your Bible. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I was looking for a message to preach until my brother started. So I think I have an idea of where God, but I don't know where we're going, but I have an idea. 1 John chapter 2. Are you there? All right, we'll do 20 and then we'll do 27. 2 verse 20 says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. So what exactly is an unction? It's a system that opens the pathway to spiritual knowledge. This is my lecture. You are not following this, my lecture. Now, if you study, I took some time because of him. He inspired me, so I began one study. I decided to study the words of Jesus deliberately to find out if there was any pattern to his speaking, if there was any style to his approach, if there was any system that was consistent in his deliverables. And I found some interesting things. One of the things I found about the ministry of Jesus and his deliverables is that Jesus will avoid definitions. Because John chapter 3 was the most suitable opportunity that Jesus had to define what it meant to be born again. People like Apostle Paul, they prospered more with definitions. You hear Paul say things like, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, faith is the evidence of things not seen. You hardly find Jesus doing definitions. And I was troubled about that, and I decided to ask God, why did you choose this style? If I heard him at all, his response looked like this. I don't want to unveil spiritual things in such a way that it will be accessible to a cerebral mind. You know, human beings like, we like formulas. So press this button, press that button. And there was a time in the body of Christ where everything was about common sense and buttons and keys until the key holder became overbodied. I found out that Jesus doesn't give out keys. Because spiritual knowledge is not cerebral. Spiritual knowledge is experiential. And Adam knew his wife. Spiritual knowledge, are you still with me? So when we talk about the unction, we are talking about a faculty that can open the door to spiritual knowledge. We have received that faculty. As believers. It means that the Holy Spirit intends to bring us into his own school of education. That's the reason for spiritual knowledge. So that we can operate like God, you will need to be educated. We are wired according to the fall. And it will take serious dealings with the Holy Ghost in order for our minds to be renewed. It will take encounters with God. It will take encounters with his word in order for us to be recalibrated and to function in the light of the original burden that was conceived about humankind before creation began. A lot of those recalibrations takes place when we have access to spiritual knowledge. And in the eyes of God, spiritual knowledge is critical for us to operate maximally. It is critical for us to be able to sustain the strategy of the Spirit for every given time. So the Bible is saying, this is John speaking. He says, we have an unction. And this unction gives us a potential. The potential we have by this unction is that we have the capacity to know all things. Then he goes further. I'd like to jump a few verses. He goes further to verse 27, still talking about the unction. Are you still with me? Because the New Testament equivalent for the Urim and the Tumim is what we call the inward witness. Now, I need to explain something. Have you read the scripture that says it is God that walketh in us, but to will and to do according to his own good pleasure? Are you there? So, God's workshop is inside of me. God's construction site, God's place of work is inside of me. And part of what God's work in me produces is that it fires in desires, God's desires. I'm able to hook up with God's desires. You see, when God begins to flood my heart daily with his desires, what he's attempting to do is to change my taste buds. I have my own desires. have the stuff I want, I have the choices I want to make, but God begins to work on my inside. He wants to intercept my preferences and to recalibrate me, to bring me to a point where unconsciously I will begin to desire what is desired. And the time that I begin to desire what God is desiring, are you there? Then He now makes the enablement available to me to be able to prosecute that which He desired, that He shared with me, that is now my desire. He now gives me the energy to begin to prosecute it. And there is a temptation for me to think that I become so powerful because I'm beginning to do things that is not common to do, is not human to do. So there is a temptation for me to think that I'm a superstar. And so Apostle Paul now says, hey, it is God that is the one that is at work. You see, he gives us an understanding of what it means when we say something is supernatural. When we say something is supernatural, it's not only God that is at work. When we say something is supernatural, we have an enablement. The driving force is God. But the one that will do the work is me. But the energy with which I do it is not mine. That is talking about a form of partnership that God is calling us into. And that partnership, God drives the entire process by providing desires, by providing the energy to prosecute. And I'm there, a recipient of that dimension of grace that He makes available. And the impossible becomes possible because God is involved. Please help me tell your neighbor, a spirit is involved. That's the story of the new man. The story of the new man is the story of enablement. Story of the new man. I hope you know, even if Adam did not take that fruit, the tree of death, even if he did not eat of it, he was innocent. He was not righteous. He did not have the nature of God. Think about it. You are not following me. What I'm saying is that even if Adam didn't eat of that fruit, he still needs to be born again. Because if he eats of the tree of life, the life of God will now come into. He still needed the life of God. He was man of man, but the prototype is man of God. The moment you enter into that sphere that is powered by the divine life, there is need for education. If not, you operate like a man. So he now says, we have what? An unction. The moment this unction goes to work, then we have access to what? To spiritual knowledge. Do you still remember the scripture that says that the eyes of our understanding being flooded with light, that we may know? It will take light in order for that spiritual knowledge to become accessible. So that's what the Urim and the Thummim is about. And in this context, we can define what it means when the Bible says God is a living God. Are you with me? Let me read some of my notes to you. The inward witness, according to my note, is the most basic mode of God's communication. This kind of communication is organic, is life based, is intuitive. One of the capacities that the life of God sustains is that it gives us the possibility to know God. You know, there's a difference between eternal life and everlasting life. And Jesus, even though he doesn't like to define, the only time within the limits of my own understanding, the only time Jesus ever defined a subject, it was on the matter of eternal life. In the book of John chapter 17, he said, "This is," stay with me, are you there? "This is eternal life, that they might know," again, "know thee." So eternal life happens to be qualitative, and one of the qualities of God's life that we have, and everlasting life is quantitative. One of the qualities of the life of God that we have is that it is the basis upon which we can know God. This unction is a component of that life that we received. So a man that is not born again cannot know God, because he doesn't have the infrastructure for that kind of endeavor. He's cut off from the civilization of things that are obtainable in the kingdom of God, because he is deficient of God's life form. I'm saying that that unction that we have received from the Holy One, that unction is activated when Shekinah shines on it. The inward witness is a spiritual sensation in our spirit man. That's why we call him the living God. You will feel him inside. He's alive inside. So he creates these spiritual sensations within our spirit man, that he affords us the opportunity through discernment to be able to sense. Are you there? Part of what the discernment potential that is in the life of God achieves is that it gives us the ability to discern God when God is moving in your vessel. The economy, the spiritual economy that sustains the activity of God within your vessel, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Maybe we might need that scripture. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. The Bible says that he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. One spirit. So in my own theology, I gave that thing a name. I call it, there are many terminologies I have developed out of my theology. Are you with me? Now, before I tell you my terminology is not as important as the explanation I want to give now. If you get coke, I want to believe you know coke. You don't know coke. Okay. Then you get Fanta. And then you mix coke and Fanta. The result is what? Well, it's exactly what you said it is. So my theological name for this arrangement is the economy of the mingled spirit. The mingled spirit. If you want to do diligent theological work, I challenge you. Start from Romans. Check any time in your Bible, from Romans to Jude, when you see spirit, in your mind, interpret it to mean the human spirit. It will be correct. Interpret it to mean Holy Spirit. It will be correct. I challenge you to do it. I'm challenging you because I've done it. The reason why it is like that is because of the economy of the mingled spirit. Now, listen to me. Are you following what I'm talking about here? Are you following? Now, experientially, stay with me. Stay with me. Don't lose it now. Experientially, if God moves inside of your spirit, you would think it is your spirit that moved. Experientially. If your spirit moves, you would think it is God that moved. That is the Coke plus Fanta mixture. I want you to digest that before we start this journey. One spirit. It is like that theologically, and it is like that experientially. Because of the economy of the mingled spirit, there is a potential for you to know God much more than you know your wife. Because your wife is without. God is mingled with your spirit, forming one economy. I know many times in the night when I'm burdened, because I love my wife so much, I relieve her of burdens. My heart is designed to bear burdens. I have discovered that. I'm home with problems, with troubles. My days have not been many, but full of afflictions. Now, so I'm just there with bodies on the bed, and she's just sleeping. So she woke up one morning and said, "Kai, you are blessed." And she didn't know why I was saying that. I had to pray all night, not because I had any schedule for night vigil. The only way I felt better, the only way I could receive ventilation, was just praying in the spirit. It was easier for me to bear the bodies. As close as we were, she didn't know what was troubling me. But that cannot be the case with the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost is troubled, you will be troubled. That's the economy of what? One spirit. Do you realize that you don't need to tell somebody that a believer that is sinning? You don't need to tell the person, repent, because the person knows. He knows. One spirit. Can we move on? One spirit. He knows. The spirit of God that is in his spirit will bear witness. How do you know you are born again? That spirit that is in your spirit bears witness on a daily basis that you belong to God. His trademark is upon you. That's how you know. So, you see, one of the benefits that we enjoy because of the economy of the mingled spirit is that we enjoy spiritual knowledge. That knowledge is intuitive. It's internalized. And that's how all knowledge of God is secured. Hallelujah. So in the new covenant, what God is doing is that he takes us and makes his workshop within, so that your life will derive from the throne of Christ. According to the economy of the New Testament, God will solve all of your problems only one way. One way and one way only. That was why when we started becoming a cerebral church of keys, I knew we were in the wilderness. We're perambulating the wilderness because we have not yet arrived the good land. Are you there? Because the things that you are looking for in the wilderness are already in the good land. So the prayer points you used to have in the wilderness will become irrelevant in the good land. That's if you can recognize the potential of the land. According to the New Testament, God solves all our problems one way. Give me 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 and 31. Before we... I want to show you... You know... My daughter is in crèche now. So, anytime I come back from a trip, she wants to impress me with the new knowledge she has acquired. She will behave like the teacher. That's it. So, I want to show us the alphabet If you enter into the school of the spirit and you are really there, I want to show you the alphabet system. If you don't, you know, in my dialect, there is no S. There's no S in my dialect. I'm looking at your mother's face. I'm not an expert in that field, so I know you are an expert anyway. So there's no S in my dialect. Because of that, if you ask someone from my extraction of the nation to pronounce solution, may the Lord give you understanding. The people that know what I'm talking about, they understand what I'm saying. If you are not acquainted with the alphabet, you will not be able to produce some words. So we need to solve the problem. I'm trying to help us solve the problem of blindness. That is the retina problem. Are you with me? Alright, so where did I? Okay. This is how God solves all of our problems. The Bible says, but in Him. I would like us to do some substitution. Can you substitute the Father for that Him? Of the Father are ye in Christ. So the Father domiciled us in a certain administration. You're not with me. Come with. You must understand me. Alright. This is what God did on the cross. One of the things He did on the cross was that by an act of His authority, He included us in Christ. So that when Christ died, you died. When Christ was buried, you were buried. When Christ rose from the dead, you rose from the dead. When Christ ascended, you also ascended. When Christ sat down at the right hand of God, the Bible says we are seated together with Him in the heavenly realms, far above principalities and powers. Did you get it to that point? So what God did was that He included you in Him. That was the logic behind our salvation. And the operating system of our new life is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave. And the reason why it is so is because the greatest problem any man can suffer is death. And that was the first problem the Holy Spirit solved with Jesus. So if He solved the problem of death, He can solve the problem of marriage. Huh? Is that true? He can solve the problem of poverty. You are not following me. Now, as I'm talking, think about what I'm saying. Think about it. So, God, the Father, put us in Christ, under the administration of Christ. And I need to explain something quickly. Even though... Okay, in this alphabet, I'll only show you the first one. Then you study the rest. Only because of time. Are you with me? You see, what is there is Christ. And I need to explain Christ. That word, the way it is an office. How many of you still remember the great confession of Peter when Jesus administered the questionnaire, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Peter brought a twofold response. The first response is, "Thou art the Christ," referring to His office, referring to His ministry, referring to the administration unto which He has been committed. That administration is the administration that He assumed when the Bible says he sat down at the right hand of God. That place he sat is an office. Oh, you're not following. Now, I don't want to do too many scriptures. You still remember Psalms 110 verse 1 and 3, the Lord said unto my Lord. So it was a father that released him into that office. Sit down at my right hand. And when we say right hand, in kingdom terminology, it means administration. Do you realize that until that throne of the Christ was occupied, nobody could be born again? Think about it. The purposes of God, they were suspended until God had a Christ. He was coronated into that office on the day of Pentecost. In fact, Peter's explanation of the day of Pentecost is that a coronation has taken place in heaven. This is the postcode. What we are seeing here is the evidence of the fact that Jesus has been exalted into that office in the heavenlies. Are you following? Good. So what God did is that he put us under the administration of Christ. And it will interest you to know, according to Ephesians chapter 1, when we look at the sequence of God's eternal purpose and the meaning of time, it will interest you to know that all that God is doing in time is bringing everything under that administration. Because he wants his universe to reflect Christ. And the reason for which this administration is significant, are you there? Are you following me? Is that God cannot actualize his eternal purpose except he exercises his authority. Imagine someone walking on the streets and your eyes are open and you discover that this person is ordained to be an evangelist. The reason why he is not an evangelist now is because God has not been able to exert authority over his life. That's why he is what you saw that he is. We were not like this before. It was the authority of Christ that manipulated us into what we are today. And we are confident that as long as we remain under that authority, we will be changing. If there is any reason to say hallelujah, that's that point now is a reason. Did you get that? Now, so God put us under that administration. And then he now said that office of the Christ that is occupied by Jesus, God can make that office to be anything that you need. Think about it. It says that office is made unto us wisdom. So wisdom, the source of wisdom. Oh, you're not with me. That office is made unto us righteousness. That office is made unto us sanctification. According to the New Testament, all of man's need is to be supplied from that office. The first thing you can do when you give your life to Christ is swear allegiance to Jesus and decide to deal with that office deliberately. Because have you seen scriptures inviting us to that office? It says, come boldly unto the throne of grace. And I've always said that many times we read that scripture not knowing that grace is administered from a throne, from an office. If you begin to relate with that office, everything that you need to prosecute your destiny is adequately funded. Hallelujah. Once upon a time, you know, I was in the oil industry and I was doing well. That's the best job in Nigeria, the best job. I was doing well. I was growing in the ladder. I love my job. I know it. It's exciting. You know, when you are working and your job is fun,
Jesus,
that was how it was for me. And I was getting promoted. Serious promotion. When they promote 4, I'm there. Promote 9, I'm on. Before you know it, I was supposed to become a management staff. They had already invited us to come to Transcorp for, they would detain us for 2 weeks, lecture us, and then we'll write exams there. Then the great one now say, resign. Do you know what it means to be a manager? Do you know how big my table would have been? Jesus! That's a table that when men sit behind it, even their voice becomes baritone by force. It just becomes... because... So... the first question is, are you serious about... because I was going to for a crusade to minister. Escaped after coming from offshore to go and minister in a crusade. And I was in a vehicle speaking in tongues. And then the Holy Ghost now said to me, when will your passport expire? I said, yeah, it will expire on the 28th of September. Yeah. Say, your job also expires that day. And it was so loud. So I said, okay, how am I going to be feeding? You know what he told me? Teach the Bible. I know it looks, you see, the Bible says we have what? An unction. If you lack spiritual knowledge, you will be like a sheep without shepherd. So this is 5 days after 28th of September. That's it. Huh? Is it 5 days? September has how many days? Well, I tendered my resignation on the 5th of October, being fully persuaded that it was the will of God. My colleagues, so we were supposed to be like 48 in Transcorp, locked up, so that you can't, no expo, your phones are seized. It's what you know here, you deliver. And after 1 week, you know you failed. If you do it 3 times and you fail 3 times, you will retire on that rank. I knew I would pass. Pass mark was 70. In all the exams I've written, the least I scored was 78. I died. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But he said, the way to your sustenance is what? Teach. I said, okay, that's great. I've spent 3 years now under Christ's direct help. My condition is way better than the manager I was fighting to retain. Way better. Hallelujah. Now, this is my own story. This is not a doctrine. It might be the will of Christ to move you into the wilderness. Let Christ be the one in charge. Let that administration determine the texture of your life. And that's why it's very terrible to compare and compete, because you don't have a context for that comparison. So, the way God will solve your problem and my problem is only one way, is through that administration. I'll be doing myself a favor to walk the walk of intimacy with God. I'm helping myself, because that's where my sustenance is. I'll be doing myself a favor fraternizing with Jesus, because in his administration is my possibility. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Okay, so that's the reason, my motivation for praying, it's an initiative to hook up with Jesus. That's my motivation. You don't need to motivate. I know that there's profit in this adventure. So I'm mobilized. I'm mobilized. I am mobilized to interface with him. Are you there? It was in the middle of interfacing with him that he began to reveal to me who I was. And I'm not talking about who you are doctrinally as a new creation. We cannot exhaust that if we want to begin to talk about it. But who I am as a unique entity in him. You know that scripture that says, if any man be in Christ, is a new creation. Click on creation. For those of you that did anything related to biology, that word is the word for species. It's a new species. Are you with me? Let's see if I still remember some botany. At least I still remember that orange is citrus. Citrus. Okay. Lemon is citrus limon. Grape, citrus nobilis. Tangerine, citrus aurelifolia. Normal African orange, citrus paradisi. Each one is a different species of citrus. So me, I'm a different species. That is me. This my own type. I'm only one of this species. That's what that scripture is saying. That God made us different species. So you cannot compare the taste of nobilis with paradisi because they are not the same. Your life can encourage my life, but your life is not my life. No. That uniqueness that comes with your own species is designed by God to make you seek God for a description of the full detail of that species. Are you there? Okay, so when I began to work with him, he began to give me some few flashlights. This is who you are in me. This is who you are. Then you just discover that there is no need to compete because I am all by myself. Hallelujah. Amen. So the economy of the mingled spirit makes your spirit one with the Holy Ghost. And the Bible reveals to us that the Holy Ghost can only communicate directly to your regenerated human spirit. For instance, the Bible says that the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. So what we are trying to analyze are all the shapes and colors of the inward witness, which is the Urim and the Tumim. Exactly. Now, if we can articulate all the various textures of the inward witness as captured in Scripture, that forms the alphabet of inner discernment by the Holy Ghost. You get it? So let's do A. A is in Mark chapter 8, verse 12. The moment I finish doing A, can we do A from what I'm seeing here? All right, let's try. Mark chapter 8, verse 11 and verse number 12. If you are there, say amen. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit. Now, where is the sigh coming from? Are you following me? That sigh was not his sigh. The sigh was the sigh of the Holy Ghost that was in his spirit. Are you following what I'm talking about? Now, those are the scriptures we are going to investigate. All sorts of scriptures. and he sighed deeply in his spirit. Alright? Why does this generation seek after a sign? Now, I don't want to go into all of that. At least you have gotten where I'm going. Now, I need to show you other scriptures. Meanwhile, the Greek word for that sigh is stenazo. So we are going to use the linguistic approach to recover all the scriptures in the Bible that use stenazo. We'll put them side by side, and then we are going to analyze them. Then we'll see what that sign meant, the meaning of that alphabet. Are you with me? Alright. So, another scripture where the word stenazo is used is Romans chapter 8, verse 23 to 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 23 to 26. Romans 8, verse what? 23. There's a practical side to this lecture, so when I'm done with the theory, we'll use 15 minutes for practicals. Hallelujah. Stenazo. Let me take you to verse 26, which is my emphasis. Just jump to 26, those managing the dashboard. He said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with stenazo. Stenazo. It makes intercession for us with stenazo. Stenazos that cannot be uttered. So the first type of the inward witness that I want us to explore tonight is the stenazo type. And the stenazo type is the experience of what it means when God is calling someone to the place of prayer. There is a call to prayer experience in the spirit. There is a summoning experience in the spirit. And for those that know the corridors of the Holy Ghost, you know when God wants you to step aside. Maybe you are driving. If you sense that, you know what I'm talking about, it means park and pray. Those are on the spur of the moment spiritual activities that if you respond to, can save a life somewhere. God wants to do something and he needs your contribution, he needs your cooperation, he needs your participation, and suddenly he sends a signal of a summon. Stenazo. So the first question I have is, do you know the experience of God putting a burden in you, unbalancing you because he wants you to pray? How many of you know that experience? Great. That's one of the proof that you are spiritually healthy, if you can pick and you know this experience. That was how we wanted to travel the other day, from Benue State to Abuja to fly to London. We prayed in the night. I woke up. It's as if I need to pray. So what I did was, I was just speaking in tongues. And then the people that prayed with us in the night had dreams of three graves resulting from that trip. And they were afraid to communicate because they don't want to sound faithless. Hallelujah. Now, we were moving and gisting, and as always, my best seat in the car is the seat by the driver on the right. That's my best seat. I discovered by experience, because I'm a traveler, I discovered by experience that seat is more comfortable than any other seat in the car. So I've made that my seat. And when people send cars, official vehicles, to pick me up,
they get disappointed because I arrived at that front seat. Now, so I was there, my wife was at the back, Pastor Philip was at this side, and my wife's personal assistant was in the middle, and those were the three graves. And my daughter too was at the back, but they were holding her. And as we were moving, a truck that was filled with 40,000 liters of petrol, it happened to be that the brake failed. And in order for the man to save his cargo, but you know the meaning of fuel. If you know the meaning of fuel, the Lord has already given you understanding. In order for him to save his cargo, he felt that we were the perfect wedge system to help protect the cargo. And he rammed into our vehicle. I can't explain, because it was as if there was another light. When you were saying light, the experience was as if we were caught up in a light. It was when we came down of the vehicle and saw where the crash took place, because our rear glass broke. So that means we didn't drive there. We actually flew to another spot, because some other particles of glass too. It's like high jump. Do you know why we survived? Our luggage was the buffer that shielded us from the impact. I called my wife. Are you alive? Yeah. Philip, are you alive? Call the other lady. Are you here? My daughter was alive, obviously, because... So all the tongues I prayed from Makodi... What's the name of that place, Philip? Kadaruku. From Makodi to Kadaruku, I was praying in tongues, exercising, because it was called to pray. I didn't know that day my prayer will save my life. I didn't know that day. And guess what? When the collision, when we discovered that we're alive, and it took some time to arrive at that point, the guys in the truck had escaped. So, because we were alive, we had to go and apprehend them. Well, we are alive today because the Holy Ghost stenazo is the experience of what? A call to prayer. That's A. Then I'll do B and I stop. B is in John chapter 11, verse 33 and verse 38. John chapter 11, verse 33 and verse 38. You also find that this is a more complex word. I pray I can pronounce it. Well, we have theologians here to help us, just in case the pronunciation doesn't sound like Greek. Alright, John 11, this is at Lazarus' grave. You know the context, you know John 11. When Jesus therefore saw the weeping of the Jews, the weeping and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. So that groaning was not Jesus' groaning, it was coming from his spirit. So that groaning, the Greek word for that, let me spare you that word, is so long, and you don't need that word to be scholastic. Well, for people that really need the word, so that when you are preaching it somewhere, you can prove that you are intelligent, you are...
The word is embryomai. 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 Grown. Now, let us check Matthew chapter 9 verse 30 quickly. Then we can understand what that inward witness is about. Give me 29:30. Then I'll rest my case for the night. So because I want to practice this one, 29:30, I want to practice it. That's what I'm feeling now. So I need to exercise this one now. Are you with me? You know, when you minister, a lot of spiritual science comes to you. And if you know the meaning of the alphabet, you should be able to take advantage of what the Holy Spirit is rising up to do. But many times we'll shut the Holy Ghost down because we do not understand the language of the Spirit. The experiential and the organic language of the Holy Ghost. A deficiency in that understanding is going to create a shortfall in performance. But I pray that God will help us in the name of Jesus. Now, I think I must open the scripture myself. Matthew. Is it Matthew I said you should open to? Okay. Matthew 9. Just a minute. Matthew chapter 9, verse 29. Okay. Let's begin from verse 27 so that we'll be within the habitat of the progression of truth. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And verse 30, which is my emphasis, and their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, the word charge, that is the embryomai. Charged them. He straightly did what? He charged them. Not the same word that was used when Jesus came before the tomb of Lazarus. This word actually is referring to the inward witness that God imparts your spirit with when he wants you to take authority of a certain situation. That there's a way he imparts you with that witness. And if you do not know the language, the letter, the alphabet of that witness, a moment of the manifestation of divine authority will elude you. And that which God was intending to achieve on the account of that impartation will be missed. And in many cases, I remember we were at the airport, and you know, when you are not at home, you try to behave yourself, you know. Then they brought one guy on the wheelchair. They were processing the person's ticket. You know what? I felt like raising the guy. I had all the signs, but it was an airport. And I was black. Far away from home. So even if the guy should walk, I might end up somewhere. I wept all my way back. And I asked God for mercy. I believe he heard me. Although he didn't give me any feedback, whether or not. But the fact that he still releases that impartation in my heart, as he is doing now, is proof that he heard me. I am going to give a command. The command will be for maybe 12 minutes. No, that's too much. We'll reduce it to 5 minutes. God wants me to exercise authority. So it will be for like 5 minutes and then miracles will begin to take place. And don't believe. The instruction is don't believe. Yes, that's the instruction. That's the only way we can prove that he's sovereign. It was secured. It was secured before this time. So if you are in this place and you have a sickness on your body, there's a pain on your body, you want to stop using your glasses, you use hearing aids and you want to stop using hearing aids, you want to start hearing with your normal ears, you came with a cane, a crutch, a walking stick, an aid. Alright? Follow the instructions carefully as we pray together. And I will exercise. Oh my God. Oh my God. There is an intensity. There's an intensity here. Maybe Jesus. Kosamina haito kumpre. Mus efre siko beli mahasanto. Obrisko falabuja iko breminai tokombesani. Yalo bonde hisko prema hantoria sika babala habaraite. Yes, you want to see without your glasses? Remove your glasses, put them somewhere. Lay your hands on your eyes. If it's a case of paralysis, it's a case of paralysis, put your right hand on where the limb that is paralyzed. And if it's your hand that is paralyzed, put the one that is not paralyzed on it. If both of them are paralyzed, ask somebody by your side to lay hands on those limbs. If you have a hearing problem, listen, a hearing problem, take this finger, insert it into the ear that cannot hear and block it. You came with someone that is afflicted, maybe it's a demonic case, it's a mental case. Can you just lay your hands on the person's head? You have a pain, an everlasting pain that does not go. It's just there. It's just there. Lay your hands on it. Lay your hands on it. And you don't need to believe. Just lay your hands. Now, if I say in the name of Jesus, give me a big amen. In the name of Jesus. There's somebody in our midst that I've been finding it difficult to sleep. Sleep is a challenge, and when you get to sleep and there's a little noise, you are waking, and for you to get back to sleep, sometimes you cannot even get back to sleep. Where are you? Rise on your feet. Can you come? Come. Can you come quickly? Quickly. In the name of Jesus, someone had an accident some time ago, and when you had this accident, it affected one of your legs. You used a support during the time of this accident in order for you to accomplish the time it took for that your limb to heal. Alright? But what I see right now is Satan. I see Satan trying to give you the crutches again, that support again.
because the pain on that place where you had the accident has come back. If you are the one I'm talking about, stand on your feet. So join them.
In the name of Jesus,
you know what I see? I see a grave. The spirit of death has been following someone in this congregation. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you stretch forth your hand. That individual in this congregation, that the spirit of death has been following, hovering over, arrest that person. Bring that lady. And if it's more than one, Lord, let none of them go back. Let none of them go back for this plague. Stretch forth your hand. Stretch forth your hand anywhere such people are and arrest them. Stretch forth your hand anywhere they are and arrest them. Let the touch of your anointing detect them. Okay.
Yeah, no, they see. In the name of Jesus.
Somebody here went for a burial, and since you came back, you've been sick, even though you've been on medications, you are not quite well, even now. Rise on your feet. Yeah, join. How many times did I say in Jesus' name? How many times? Three, only three. Ah, I'm supposed to do seven, but... Do you know that you picked an arrow? Bring her, bring, let me talk to her. Do you know that somebody shot an arrow into you? You're not aware. Okay.
Ega momo santore, ela monde, ela monde, ela monde.
Two people already healed, but we will come to that.
Ela monde, I destroy that weapon.
Destroy it. Oh my God. I destroyed that weapon.
Luther!
In the name of Jesus. Oh my God. Sometimes you need to ask God before you make some. We neutralize the effect of this instrument, this weapon of injury that was shot into her life. Let it be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Let it be destroyed. Alright, because you people are too many, we'll use another method. Father, if you are dealing with these people's case, If it is true that you are interested, show me a sign. Let your anointing come on three of them. Let your anointing descend on three of them. Let your anointing descend on three of them. Let it descend strong on three of them. So, let it descend strong on three of them. If you have stretched your hand already, if you are bringing about an intervention already, let your hand rest on three of them. Let it rest on three of them. Let it rest on three of them. Let it rest strong. 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 Holy Ghost! Put your hand. Put your hand. Sit down. Let me release my prayer. You are released. Those of you that could not sleep, you will sleep this night like a baby. Oh my God. Mommy, give me your right hand. Give me your hand. The name of Jesus. The name. Okay. Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Weep no more. Huh? So let's pray. Just for a moment. Put your hands there as I instructed. And then we'll pray for 5 minutes. For 5 minutes. We'll pray for five. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind every spirit of infirmity. I bind every spirit of sickness. I bind every disease in the name of Jesus. Blinding spirits be bound. Blinding spirits be bound. Come out of the eyes in the name of Jesus. Deafening spirits be bound. Come out of the ears in the name of Jesus. I break the hold of pain. I destroy every curse proclaimed over the life of anyone in this auditorium. In the name of Jesus Christ. I command tumors to dry up. I command cancers to dry up. I command lumps to disappear. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, let the pain go. Let the affliction go. Let it be destroyed in your presence. In the name of Jesus Christ. I arrest the spirit of paralysis. Paralysis. Paralysis be gone in the name of Jesus. Let life come upon those bones in the name of Jesus Christ. Now I say to the eyes, eyes, see in Jesus' name. Ears, hear in Jesus' name. I command that pain, go in the name of Jesus. No, you are all released. You are all released. Except maybe you can't move. But you are released. So you have 2 minutes to check your body. The moment you notice that there is a healing on your body, you rise on your feet. Oh, Jesus Christ. So you have 2 minutes to check. If you notice there's a healing on your body, you can see. You can hear. The pain is gone. You can walk. You can walk without support. You can walk without the aid. So you rise on your feet. Can you shake me? You can hear. You can see. the pain is gone. There's a difference already. Just stand on your feet. Oh my. Oh my. Oh my. Oh my. You see, I'm seeing something like a drama in the spirit. I'm seeing a garment like linen. A garment like linen descending from heaven. And the Holy Spirit whispers to me that this garment is the garment of His presence. That somebody in this auditorium was supposed to be a carrier of the presence of God from place to place. You know, you just show up and the presence of God begins to infiltrate the place and it disarms every darkness that is rooted in that location. Alright? So this garment, yeah. So there are three prophets that God wants to commission. Three prophets that God wants to commission. And the hand of God will descend upon those three individuals in the next 12 seconds. 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 Come. There is an intense glory that is hanging over, oh Jesus Christ, hanging over this congregation. There's an intense glory hanging over this congregation. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Lord, let these impartations be established. Let the impartations be established so that new flavor will come into the body of Christ. New favor. I'm seeing a lady of 21 years old, and you are receiving an impartation right now. You are receiving a touch from Jesus right now, and it's becoming stronger. It's becoming stronger. It's becoming stronger. Those of you that have confirmed your healing, those of you that have confirmed your healing, let me see your hand. Can you wave like this? All right. So I want to take a few testimonies. Can you come? Can you come? Come this way. Where's doctor? Doctor that helped me this morning. Where's your husband? He's inside. Okay. Where is Dr. Joshua? Okay, they are. Yeah, if you have confirmed your healing, there's a particular case I'm looking for because the Lord sent me to you, and the sign He gave me is that healing. I'm waiting to see if we can. Oh Jesus, oh Lord. Now listen to me. I can see the angel of the Lord that walks with me present here, and this angel that is present here. He helps me in the healing ministry. He helps me in the healing ministry. And there is someone that has a similar kind of healing ministry. So the angel of the Lord will begin to assist you in the area of that your healing ministry. In the area of that your healing ministry. At the count of 1 to 8. At the count of 1 to 8. You will feel the inflow. Oh my God. Now, one of you standing here, from what I see, there's an anointing that came from heaven on one of you. In the next 17 seconds, somebody will receive the anointing. One of you. In the next 17 seconds. The next 17 seconds. It will come so strong upon you, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. God is lifting you. God is shifting you higher in the name of Jesus Christ. There is someone that will function like a missionary. Will be going from place to place, an apostolic personality. And whenever you come, the kingdom of darkness will bow, because God will make you such a vessel of apostolic authority. The glory of God is, oh my God, if you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, I think this is time for us to speak in tongues. There's something hovering over this place. The hand of God is moving things. So intense. So intense. So intense. So intense. The corridors of grace are open to us. The Lord is willing tonight. So let every yoke be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus, for he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. For even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God is exchanging your weakness for his strength. There's somebody that came in here defeated. You came in defeated. It's as if that you are the end of the road. The Lord is saying to you, arise and take your journey, for I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you with might by my spirit in your inner man. I'll strengthen you with might. The least among our numbers will become as strong as David. Hey! I see the glory of God descending on the city of Jos. The intercessors that have labored here, I come with an encouragement. The things for which you labored are about to come to pass. The hands of God alight upon the city, and the covering cast of darkness will be taken away. Light comes. For now is the effect of every vision. Now is the effect. Now is the season, says the Lord. COVID must be so clear. We have waited long, Lord. We have labored. Fulfill your will. Do that which is pleasing in your sight. Concerning Plateau State, concerning the city of Jos, in the name of Jesus. The little ones have become a thousand, and the small ones have become a strong nation. Si me
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In a moment, the Lord will show us a sign that He has come to the city of Jos. We will see a sign from heaven in a moment. In a moment. In the next 2 minutes. In the next 2 minutes, there will be a sign. The intensity of the glory of God will fill this place. And God will be dealing with so many people at the same time. If you ever lost an anointing, you'll get it back tonight. If there was something that you misplaced, it shall be restored. Hey. In a moment, you'll be dealing with us differently, on different levels. His mighty hand will come here. He will come so intense. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Return, that we might look upon you. This is a time that you spoke about. This is a season for which the prophets prophesied. Return, that we might look upon you. That we might look upon you. The nation cries in anguish. Return to Nigeria and break the yoke of the Assyrian in the name of Jesus. Set our people at liberty. Set us free by your outstretched hand, by your strong hand, in the name of Jesus.
For 2 minutes, we'll soon be out of here. I'm looking for one of you. I'm looking. Your city, Jos, was numbered, named among some of the cities that God will experiment revival. Your city. And it will break through the canopy of darkness and kindle a fire. Such a fire that will not be quenched. Yeah. So your city was mentioned among one of the cities where God will do His experiments. A fire will be kindled and it will not be quenched. It will not be quenched. He has heard the cry of the intercessors. Hey, I don't know. I'm afraid. Let me keep the rest. But He has heard the cry. I think I need to talk. I need to speak. Now, this is a bad day for false prophets. It's a bad day because God is doing something in the body of Christ. There's a restoration that God is doing, and He's taking out false prophets, not just from Nigeria, but from the continent of Africa. There's a cleanup exercise that is taking place, and then He's elevating accurate prophets with grace is elevated. We will not be a people without a voice in our midst anymore. God will ensure that there will be a perpetual cry that is in our midst. Something is on the horizon. God is willing. Yes.
In testimony, she had blurry vision.
Blurry vision. Okay.
And after the prayer, she's been healed. She had long-sightedness.
You've been on glasses since 2013.
So I do stop on my home whenever I'm tired of using it. And of recent, I got another one because it came back. And so when we were making the prayer, I removed it by faith, laid my hands, and I discovered that I could see from the screen right from upstairs.
Okay,
it had never been like that over years.
So she could see from the gallery. She could see. All of you that have eye healings, stand here. I have a message for you.
She had short-sightedness for 7 years.
Short-sightedness for 7 years. Did you check it? Okay, everyone with an eye for our miracle, just stand here.
She had long-sightedness from the beginning of this year.
Long-sightedness from the beginning of this year healed.
And yours.
Just stand this way. Okay.
He had blurry vision. He couldn't see the screen for 6 years. He's been healed now.
Couldn't see the screen for 6 years. Healed now. Yes.
She couldn't hear well with her right ear from childhood, and now she's been totally
healed. She couldn't hear well with the right ear from childhood. Were you here this morning? Oh, you're not here this morning. Somebody missed something this morning, and I wept. I wept for that person. Ah, okay. You are here. Can we rejoice in the Lord Jesus for this? Lord God.
That this is a very interesting testimony.
Okay.
I think she met you this morning or yesterday. Yesterday you prayed for her. She had diabetes.
She came to me yesterday evening requesting prayer for blood sugar condition. I said, you wait till tomorrow. Wait. So I ministered to her this morning. Yeah? What happened?
So she checked.
They've been trying to manage it. It shoots up. It goes up to 300 and something. So that is 31 point something.
What?
And if they give me insulin, it will drop, it will crash, and I will faint. So they'll try to bring it back, they'll give me sugar, and I'll come back. That's how it's been fluctuating. So I said I must come to church. So when I came, after you prayed for me and her, we checked it. It was 6.6.
Those of you that were here this morning, I think you can relate with this. Now, something is happening. Wait. I see in the spirit. And this angel of the Lord just anointed me here. The reason, whenever this happens to me, it means that God is commissioning somebody. God is... Yes. Yeah. All right. Lord, let this miracle be permanent. In Jesus' mighty name. Can we celebrate Jesus?
She's been having some pains on her kidney and she's been seeing the doctor. But the moment you prayed, the pain left.
Okay, the pain
she can't feel any pain now.
Yeah, she's here. Can we celebrate Jesus?
This young man has been seeing chains binding his legs.
He's been seeing chains.
But the moment you prayed, he saw the chains break.
Okay, you saw the chains break.
Yeah.
So now I put a blessing upon you. Let it become notable, visible. Jesus' name. Can we sing that song?
To him sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb.
Oh, sing blessings.
Sing blessings and glory and honor and power.
Forever. One more time, sing blessings.
And glory and honor and power forever.
The spirit of the prophet is subject. That's the only parable by which I will restrain myself. Yes.
She had short-sightedness. She couldn't look at the screen.
Short-sightedness.
But the moment you prayed, she's been healed.
Did you check? Did you test?
No, but I've always had issues with maybe. I can't drive well at night.
Did you confirm?
Yes, I did. Because I could not read the scriptures on the screen. Before then, I was receiving.
Now, there is somebody that the Lord said, okay, he will give an eye miracle, that he wants to give something else.
She had a blurry vision too.
Blurry vision too.
But she's been.
You can see now.
She can see the light. She can see the light. Okay. The light before.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Now we're about to stop this. Okay. All of you, just raise your right hand like this. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask. Even though we cannot take their testimony because of time, I ask for an invitation for every one of them. That your hand might rest, your grace might rest, your glory might rest upon them in Jesus' mighty name. Now, you see, so what God is doing now is taking from something he put on me and he's transferring it to somebody. He's transferring it to me. Transfer it. All right. Now, all of you here, please. The spirit of the prophet is subject. All of you here, the Lord sent me to one of you, but I don't know which one. He said he will heal the person on the eyes, and then he will give the person the anointing of a seer. Now, if your miracle is eye-related, join them. If your miracle is eye-related, join them. Quickly. And for the rest of you, if I touch you, you can get back to your seat. Okay? It is permanent. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It is permanent. In the name of Jesus. It is permanent. It is permanent. Yes, it is permanent in the name of Jesus. Now, so Father, I ask that one that you are giving the grace of a seer. You heal the person in his natural eyes because you want to cause that person to begin to see into the realm of the spirit. That one among these ones. I ask, oh God, let the anointed rest. Let it 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 rest stronger. Let it come stronger. Let it come stronger. Let it come stronger. Holy Ghost. Grace. All right, come. The rest of you go. So you are the one that the Lord said I will meet today. I want to make a request on your behalf.
Woo! Sing blessings and glory and honor. Empower.
So he had partial deafness. in the morning that you refuse to come. No. No, we cannot reconcile. We can't reconcile. No. We. Now, can you help me? It's the Lord's wish for this lady to be empowered. It's the Lord's wish. Can you stretch your hand in that direction for empowerment? Is covered my soul about. Ask a seat of grace, cover my gomba minari. Ziba bronte kapahai so sombre. Is covered minate kis alatoria. Hema en koro sakatani. Yes. Help me, empower. Because this is the time. This is the time for her to be released into honor. She's been in the shadows for a long time, but now cause her face to shine. Cause her face to shine. In the name of Jesus. All right, young man, you stand up. You stand. So can you give us a good reason why you refuse to respond this morning? What? No. What's it? He was nervous. Is that true? Okay, let's say it's true. Okay. You see, God wanted me to give you something like this woman now. It was you He sent me to this morning. I am preaching, but He sends me to one individual. Every service, one individual. It was you. You refused. So I released what He sent me to give you to two individuals. So now I am dispossessed of it. And I'm fully incapacitated. There's nothing I can do about your situation at the moment. May the Lord help in Jesus' name. So you are released. No. If this one now, you are in the flesh. Go. You are wasting. What was it? This one you are doing now, is it not more difficult than that one? Go. I've released the thing. You don't understand what I'm talking about. See, I've been doing this for years. And I'm telling you the truth. I cannot help you. Not because I don't want. I have nothing. Hallelujah. That one that God wants to give a miracle ministry. You've been seeing it in your dreams. See, listen to me. You don't go out of line. Just listen. Your hand will begin to vibrate uncontrollably in the next 21 seconds. Ushers, when you find them, bring them. I need to breathe on them. That's my last assignment. It will begin to vibrate. To begin to vibrate. A lot of terrible things have happened in Nigeria and all of that, but we are bound to come out of the wilderness. Yes, God's covenant with us will be steadfast, and He's coming to perform it. So rest in hope and rejoice, for the days of mercy are about to come again. Breathe on them, Lord. Breathe. We are coming out of the swamp as a nation. We are coming out of the wilderness as a nation. There is a land He promised us. Of death until we have seen the emancipation that You have promised us as a nation.
Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name.